Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the verdict in the Bradley Manning trial and speak with Adam Klasfeld, a reporter with Courthouse News Service who has covered the trial from the beginning and just wrote an article at Courthouse News Service, Open Diplomacy or Espionage. We will discuss the irony that President Woodrow Wilson, who called for the kind of open diplomacy that motivated Bradley Manning to leak 250,000 diplomatic cables, is the same president who in 1917 signed the Espionage Act under which Bradley Manning was convicted. Then we'll speak with Lauren McNamara, who has produced YouTube videos that have received over 9 million views and caught the attention of Bradley Manning. She was a witness in the Bradley Manning trial, testifying in his defense about the many conversations she had with him before his leaks went public. She just wrote the article, The Humanity of Bradley Manning, at Freethought Blog. Then finally, we'll go to Ramallah in Palestine to speak with Khaled El-Gindi, who served as an advisor to the Palestinian leadership on permanent status negotiations with Israel from 2004 to 2009. We'll discuss the renewed peace talks brokered by Secretary of State John Kerry between Palestinian negotiator Saeb Erekat and Israeli Justice Minister Tzipi Livni that have set a goal of 9 months to reach a final status agreement. Joining us now is Adam Klasfeld, who's a reporter for Courthouse News Service, who has covered the Bradley Manning trial from the beginning. He just wrote the article, Open Diplomacy or Espionage, at Courthouse News Service. Welcome to Background Briefing, Adam Klasfeld.
Thank you for having me.
And describe the surroundings. You're there in Fort Meade, which is ground zero for the National Security Agency. That's where the courthouse is. So just to begin with, the courthouse, the judge, the whole atmosphere, and then we'll segue into what happened today in terms of the verdict.
Well, one thing that I'll say, most of the press here for me, it was we stay in the Media Operations Center, which is not actually part of the courtroom. It's being transmitted by a closed-circuit feed. Some journalists choose to go into the courtroom, but there's greater access to be able to get our stories up quicker. Today it was a very bustling press room. Lots of journalists from all around the world there to report on the verdict.
Tell us what was the response to the verdict. I mean, what was the reaction that you were able to witness?
Well, I think, obviously, the big news today was that the judge acquitted Bradley Manning of the aiding the enemy charge, and that was the most serious charge, the one that carried the potential life sentence, and that was one that drew a lot of controversy because of the precedent that it could set, equating leaks to the press with the military equivalent of treason. So the big news is that the judge rejected that interpretation of the law and acquitted Bradley Manning of that count. We don't know her reasoning yet. We don't know why she found not guilty, but she will explain that in more detail tomorrow. The other takeaway from the case is Bradley Manning still has a very hard road ahead of him. The charges that she convicted him on, nearly, but not all, of the remaining 21 counts, carry over a century in prison. So it could be the functional equivalent of a life sentence, depending on what happens sentencing.
And was there any emotion exhibited by both Bradley Manning and his defense team?
Again, it's hard to tell through the live circuit feed from the press room. It was said that, I have gone into the courtroom on occasion before today's verdict. And one thing I'll say about Manning, he keeps a poker face. He's very engaged in his defense. He doesn't let on what he's feeling very often. The reports that came in from those who were in the courtroom today said that he did flash a smile at the end of it. Someone who observed the trial said that. He did not testify in this phase of the trial, but he has testified before. And he's a very articulate, methodical, and kind of level-headed in his testimony and in his courtroom demeanor. And one other thing about the atmosphere of the courtroom, this courtroom has been filled throughout the trial. To lesser degrees, it was packed today, obviously. But his supporters come out pretty regularly, and very often they'll say things like, hang in there, Bradley. Sometimes people shout out, you're a hero. And the judge, you could see, is trying to stop people from commenting during court session. And she warned before reading the verdict that she would eject anyone who made any comment. So I don't know what the reaction in terms of the faces and the mood of the supporters was. As I said, I watch it on closed circuit feed. But it would probably be fair to say that it was muted, and there's been a mixed reaction from Bradley Manning supporters. The press releases that have gone out have been happy that the aiding the enemy charge has been dropped, and at the same time expressing reservations about the remaining charges that he's facing. He still has the potential of life imprisonment.
And again, I'm speaking with Adam Klasfeld, who is a reporter for Courthouse News Service. He has been covering the Bradley Manning trial from the beginning, and he just wrote the article, Open Diplomacy or Espionage at Courthouse News Service. So let's talk a bit about your article, because in many ways, the 250,000 diplomatic cables that Bradley Manning released via WikiLeaks were at the heart of this trial, obviously, and Bradley Manning often referred to the publication of these cables as an experiment in open diplomacy. Curiously enough, the prosecution tried to make the case that releasing these diplomatic cables endangered people who had worked for the United States abroad. But there's an equal amount of evidence, and you've gathered some from some of the diplomats, in fact, people that I've interviewed, like Brady Keesling, to suggest otherwise. The response at the time when these cables were released, largely, I think, in fairness, suggested that it actually was good PR for the State Department. It looked like they were doing their job. Isn't that the ultimate?
Well, in my article, you know, I interviewed people who said just that. There were embarrassing secrets exposed, but then that also has to be balanced by, you know, what is embarrassment? Sometimes what is embarrassing is something that deserves public knowledge. So it's what you were talking about what was the actual harm of disclosing this. Just to take it a step back, the part of the trial that we just finished is for the merits phase of trial, as they called it, discuss what was the potential for harm on the leaks. That's an oversimplification, but generally that's true. The sentencing phase of trial will really look at the question, did any harm happen? And as you mentioned, all of the reportage in advance of trial, we haven't seen any confirmed cases where this cable was leaked and this person came to harm or was killed. As a matter of fact, an AP investigation found the opposite. Secretary of Defense at the time, Robert Gates, had written a letter to Senator Carl Levin saying no sources and methods were compromised and that he felt that the reaction to the leaks of the cables were fairly significantly overwrought. Now, what I was really interested in this article, Open Diplomacy or Espionage, I felt that in the context of these leaks in particular, Manning's stated aims of following President Woodrow Wilson's vision or idea for open diplomacy had gotten lost in a lot of the other conversation. I hadn't seen a lot of reportage on that. And I wanted to kind of engage with that question, because before Bradley Manning, I don't think that there had been a national conversation of could open diplomacy mean that the public can read diplomatic cables? How much privacy is a diplomat entitled to? And how much should we know the practice of statecraft as a press and as a public? And thinking of that question, I wanted to see how Foreign Service officers thought of that. So I spoke to Brady Keesling, I spoke to Colonel Ann Wright, and I spoke to others as well, Ed Peck and Charles Ray, and I want to get their perspectives. Could this work? Could a vast repository of cables be open to public inspection through anything other than a leak or a Freedom of Information Act request? This had been kind of a third rail of public discussion. No one had been talking about this. I was kind of expecting them to greet the idea with skepticism, but what I found was very diverse answers. Some actually thought an official repository could happen. And I thought that this experiment isn't properly engaged with unless we're asking these questions and getting the expertise from people who have engaged with them and who, like the people I interviewed, are now retired and can now be a little bit more candid about their thoughts about how possible this vision can be in practice.
Well, of course, Adam Klasfeld, again, reporter for the Courthouse News Service, who's been covering the Bradley Manning trial from the beginning. What, of course, was seared into our memories was with the initial leaks from via WikiLeaks of the Apache gunship shooting the Iraqis, including a news crew from Reuters, which was just absolutely hideous and brutal. And frankly, I can understand that the military are upset about it. But on the other hand, the public needs to know what's being done in their name. And this, I think, was an important revelation. This is not your regular courthouse. This is not Perry Mason. This is a military court. Yeah. This is a court-martial.
This is a court-martial, absolutely. One interesting thing, an underreported aspect of this ruling, because you mentioned the collateral murder video, there is a very in-the-weeds aspect of this ruling that she basically found him not guilty on the greater charge with respect to this video, which was the Espionage Act charge. What she found him guilty of was the lesser-included offense, which was he leaked it. And one of the things that she ruled is that this video was not national defense information, and to qualify as that, it would have to be closely held. What we found out is that this video was, during trial evidence showed that this video was unclassified. And as a matter of fact, a transcript of what the gunners were saying in the video was somehow made available to Washington Post reporter David Finkel for his book, The Good Soldiers. And this was a video that the Pentagon had rebuffed the requests, the Freedom of Information Act requests placed by Reuters to view the footage because it was two of their employees who died in the strike among the other civilians. So the fact that the judge is ruling that this was not a closely held video, this was not a national defense information video, this was an unclassified video, really provides some small vindication, even if it comes with a conviction on that charge.
Well, clearly it was helping the American people and the world understand what was happening in Iraq. It wasn't helping Al-Qaeda, which was that preposterous charge, which fortunately the judge acquitted him on. So, Adam Klasfeld, I find it ironic, though, that you're talking about in your article, Open Diplomacy or Espionage, and Manning referred to Open Diplomacy, that this was something that was envisioned by President Woodrow Wilson at the same time that Woodrow Wilson's administration, of course, World War I took place, the American entry into that war, and that's when the Espionage Act was brought into play, as you say, to crack down on anti-war protesters. In this isolationist country at the time, there were many. So isn't that a massive irony?
That is an irony, and that was one of the things that also interested me in pursuing this story, because it is the fate of the Wilson presidency and that era, in many ways, is a key to understanding this aspect of Bradley Manning's case, that at the same time that Woodrow Wilson had espoused a vision of open diplomacy, and according to the biographer of his that I interviewed for this article, Wilson practiced what he preached. And yet his legacy also left this blunt instrument known as the Espionage Act that is rarely used for a leak to the press because it is considered so disproportionate. There's a Columbia professor has referred to the prevalence of leaks as a leaky leviathan. There are leaks every day. It's kind of how information gets out. So these twin legacies of wanting to have an ideal of greater openness and leaving behind this law that clamps down on that openness are the kind of warring forces that has created the situation that Manning and America find themselves in. We're left with this vast urge to keep a lot of secrets and another urge to keep government accountable by leaking those secrets.
Well, Adam Klasfeld, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much.
Again, I've been speaking with Adam Klasfeld, who's a reporter for Courthouse News Service. He has covered the Bradley Manning trial from the beginning, and he just wrote the article Open Diplomacy or Espionage at Courthouse News Service. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking with Lauren McNamara, who testified for the defense in the Bradley Manning trial. I'm
looking for a sign. I'm looking for the treason that I knew in '65. Beware the savage young.